Hi, thanks for joining us again for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle Delino, divorce and family law attorney with Delino Family Law Group. We have offices in Seattle and Bellevue, and we serve actually all of Washington State. I'm here with my co-host, Amy Alpeza with Windermere Real Estate. Amy, it's great to be here with you today.
Thanks, Michelle. Yeah, glad to be here. And as Michelle said, my name is Amy Alpeza. I'm a certified real estate divorce specialist with Windermere Real Estate. Our offices are all over the Puget Sound, but I serve mainly King County and Snohomish County. So thanks for listening today.
Awesome. We actually have a really, I think a really helpful and great topic for people this week. So if you're listening, maybe you're thinking about divorce and you're wondering, what does that even mean, right? Well, there are different approaches to divorce and different types of divorce. So today, Amy and I are going to take you through three different types of divorce. One is collaborative divorce, which is often talked about. It's a popular buzzword right now. Collaborative sounds great. So we're going to talk about what that is. The other one is litigation. So you've heard about going to court and having court intervention in your divorce. So we'll talk about that. And the third one is really where most divorces fall. And I call that a hybrid divorce or a cooperative divorce. So we'll talk about that too. And that's where most divorces end up. So awesome. Amy, Amy is a certified real estate divorce specialist, which means she has a certification and really can work with divorcing couples in a way that other realtors can't. And that includes for Amy, collaborative divorce. So Amy, why don't you kick us off and just tell us about collaborative divorce, because you've been involved in some of those, and give me kind of your idea about what somebody on the outside can expect, and then I'll chime in as well.
Sure. Yeah, so collaborative divorce typically means that you are, all parties involved are signing an agreement that says that they are going to collaborate with their attorney, with the opposing counsel, with their soon-to-be ex-spouse. They are going to be completely transparent with all of their documents, their financials, discovery. I don't actually think they actually have a real discovery term, if you will, but all the information that the other party is searching for, that they are going to be transparent and provide that. And then they also tend to work as a team where each spouse will have their own attorney. They will have a parenting coach if they have children, you know, below the age of 18. They will have maybe sometimes even a coach for the two of them for emotional resources. And then they'll have a CDFA, which is a certified divorce financial analyst, who is a financial neutral. And from that standpoint, when they have meetings, everybody meets in the same room. They talk over a big table. They share information back and forth. And then sometimes, you know, obviously clients are meeting with their attorneys separately, but it does tend to be a more collaborative approach where everyone is getting together and talking over the issues that they're trying to work out.
I think that's a really good overview. And I'll add on to that kind of by telling you when that might be appropriate for you and when it may not be, because I am trained in collaborative divorce, but I do very little of it. And the reason why is I don't think it's the right approach for most people. In some circumstances, it sounds awesome and it sounds great, but there are the things that you need to know about collaborative divorce to really understand if it works for you. It requires a lot of trust. And a lot of times people getting divorced don't have a lot of trust. And so sometimes it can be one party really wanting to do a collaborative divorce because they want to have power and control. And that might sound kind of counterintuitive, but it's really not. Because in a collaborative divorce, you are agreeing that you will not go to the court to solve any of your problems. You will not file any motions. And everything will be done in what we call the collaborative container in those meetings. And the other party loses the right to seek what's called formal discovery and seek disclosure of debts and assets. So you have to trust that other person's providing you with everything. And it's really, in a lot of cases, couples are getting divorced because they don't have that trust or they don't have that equality. And so if you really trust and it's super amicable, great. But then in that case, you might not even need it. But anyway,
you can do something like a different type of mediation, which we're not going to talk about today.
Totally.
We'll talk about that on another episode, but
exactly.
That As Michelle was saying, you have to screen into it too. So screening into the process, meaning some people think that they want to do collaborative, but maybe their spouse or their soon to be ex-spouse is, you know, a complete, you know, control. I don't want to say freak, but I don't have another good word for it, but very controlling of the situation and, or has been abusive. If there's any kind of abuse, you should screen out of collaborative divorce. And like Michelle said, most couples who are going through divorce don't trust each other anymore. They have lost that trust. And so, and they can't communicate well. And so that's often why, litigation, which I know sounds like a dirty word, but Michelle, tell everyone what litigation really is.
Yeah, I will. And before I go into litigation, let me just, I wanted to throw in one thing that you mentioned that's really important about collaborative screening in and screening out. If you have domestic violence, you screen out, because domestic violence, you shouldn't have to sit across the table from that other person and talk with them. That is an automatic screen out of collaborative. If you have, sometimes if there are, if substance abuse and there are issues with that, that can be a reason also to screen out. But abuse and substance abuse and domestic violence are reasons to screen out of collaborative. In my opinion, if the parties are not similarly situated, that can also be a reason to screen out financially. But anyway, moving on from that, collaborative also can take a little bit longer because of a number of meetings and having to coordinate. Sometimes it's fast, but you just never know. Moving on from that to litigation, like Amy said, I like what you said. You were like, oh, litigation sounds like a bad word to certain people. And it really does. But it's not, for the most part, because I always like to tell people I've litigated a lot over like almost the last 15 years. And because of litigation, there are so many stay-at-home parents that I have represented who have received financial support to take them past their divorce. There are protection orders that have been in place to protect people in abusive situations. There are, you know, so many things that are resolved through litigation that sometimes have to be resolved that way because people just don't agree and you need someone to make that decision for you. So a litigation divorce can look two ways. The one way is absolutely everything, every little decision you have to make goes through court. And that's expensive and it's stressful. But at the end of the day, that's hardly any cases. Most cases don't go and have every little thing decided in litigation. Maybe you have a temporary orders hearing to get some temporary orders in your place in your case because you couldn't agree. And then you go back to working through counsel on, you know, exchanging documents and doing things. And then maybe you settle in a mediation. And the next episode Amy alluded to earlier, we're going to talk about different types of mediation. So be sure and tune in for that. But you might do some things through litigation and other things you might not. Not many cases are absolutely everything in litigation all the way to a trial. Less than 10% of family law cases actually end in a fully litigated trial. So that's not most people. But the court can be a place and avenues for litigation. Having that option can be a good option to have if you need to get a decision made in your case, or you need to get documents. The other party's not giving them to you. You go to the court for that, and then you get back on track, you know, trying to stay out of court. So litigation is expensive because you got to prepare for court. You got to go there. And a lot of the time, the court does not want to make decisions about your family and your money. So they don't want you there, but they will make the decisions for you if you need to be there. And it's not necessarily a bad thing because sometimes for some people, it's like their only option, right. You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Especially when there's that imbalance of power, which we see in a lot of our relationships, right? So, yeah, anyway. And then what would you define the, you know, more cooperative or, you know, the hybrid approach?
Yeah, I call it cooperative. It's not always, I mean, I say hybrid and then cooperative in a best case scenario. Cooperative is kind of my term, and it's a term I think that is also a lot of people are using in the industry more. Cooperative means, hey, we have the right to go to court. We're not signing a collaborative participation agreement. Oh, the other thing about collaborative too, is if your process failed, you have to start over with new attorneys. If you're, then that can be really tough for people and expensive. In a cooperative divorce, you're not in those constraints. So if you need to go to court, you can, but you're kind of agreeing at the outset of the case. Like I'll reach out to the other attorney and say, hey, me and my client, we really want to be amicable. We'll get you any documents that you need. Here's a list of what we want. Let us know what you need. Let's agree on a date. Let's exchange documents. Let's really try and work together. And the other attorney will be like, yep, we're on the same page. Just want to help our clients through this. We're essentially trying to cooperate and not go to court. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, We never do. We just work everything out through attorneys, and maybe we mediate, maybe we don't even have to. So I have a lot of cooperative divorces that way. I call it, it's the same thing as a hybrid divorce, which means you might go to court and you might not. And a certain hybrid divorces where there's like no agreement at the outset that, hey, we're trying to cooperate, but you're essentially both parties are trying to do things as efficiently as possible and trying to reach agreements.
And
Maybe
trying
it's
to keep
paper,
costs down.
but yeah, it totally keeps costs down. Like I have a case just actually right now where parties are trying to agree about cashing out some retirement early in the case, which is not often done, so the parties can have some more money, and one party might buy a house, and they're trying to reach agreements on that. And they're trying to do what we call taking a pre-distribution from an account. And normally you'd have to go to court to ask for a pre-distribution, but we're just kind of saying, hey, if one client takes this, the other client takes that, we can work out a binding agreement and then just deal with it later. And that's going to save people probably $5,000 from going to court and just fighting about that one thing. So that's
So
something that works really well.
that's really good for people to hear, because I think the misconception about litigation, or when you say court, like that everything is going to go in front of a judge
Yeah, and
to
it's
court,
not.
and it's not. And I think that's the difference. Like, trial is different than court, right? Like, when people have disagreements that they cannot come to an agreement about, that's when you will tend to file, like, file a motion, right? Or that's when you have to put an order in front of a judge to make a decision for you. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. You have to, somebody actually has to bring a motion to the court. Like it's not just going to all of a sudden everything doesn't go in front of the court. The only thing in your whole case that would go in front of the court if you did nothing would be your trial, because you have to show up on that day if you haven't settled your case. But nobody's going to decide a temporary plan. No one's going to decide temporary child support. No one's going to make all these little decisions in your case unless someone brings a motion to the court for it. And so that's something a lot of people don't understand. Every little thing does not go in front of the court. I mean, that's actually really counterproductive, and it can take a long time to resolve things, and it's so expensive. I tell my clients, like, look, let's try to work some of these things out. Let's work out the financial exchange to get documents. There's a lot of ways we can do this. And that way, you save your money for actually trying to settle your case when it matters in a mediation, or if you need to go to a hearing later. But don't try to run to court about every little thing. Most people don't. And it really doesn't work that way, which
Right.
is a good thing, I think.
So, oh, it's a great thing. I mean,
Yeah.
I have some clients right now who they still are pretty amicable and amicable for their children. And so they're trying to communicate as much as they possibly can through each other so that they can cut back on their legal fees, right? And if they can do that and they're both happy with the result, great. I don't think anybody wants to take that power away from clients, right? Like, it would be fantastic if all of our clients could communicate well as they're getting a divorce. It's just that so many of them can't. So if you were gonna kind of give a statistic about how the percentage of cases that use collaborative divorce or a litigation style, cooperative divorce, do you have stats for that?
I don't actually know, because here's part of the thing is that we don't get to know. Like, you could pull all of the divorces in King County for the last year and you don't get to know what process they went through. Like, we just don't have a way to know that. But what I can tell you is literally 90% of people, whether they litigated a little bit along the way or didn't, do not go to a divorce trial. They settle their case some other way. Maybe they settle it via collaborative mediation. More often than not, though, I would say, and we do in our office, I can just tell you, we're like our own sample size. We get probably around, 1,000 inquiries a month. And some of those are clients we don't want to work with, or they're not a good fit. But out of those, there's probably less than 10% that I think, or and that our intake team thinks are really appropriate for a collaborative divorce. And a lot of the time, too, I can tell you this, if you are in the worst high conflict situation, you're like, my ex is not going to agree to anything, right? We're going to end up in court for everything. You really might be surprised, because our practice is definitely geared towards high conflict people. We deal with a lot of that in a way that other people don't. But I can still tell you that we probably settle 70% of our cases in some form of mediation, even really, really contested cases where we've been in court, or the parties are terrible, or somebody's got some really serious narcissistic behavior going on the other side, we still manage to settle those cases a lot of the time. And some of that is because it's expensive to go to trial. And we also work with, you know, really good mediators and really good arbitrators that can help people establish, you know, a resolution that's short of trial. And I'll tell you this too, Amy, like I had a trial, I think it was a couple of years ago now. And it was a really good example of this, where we had what we felt was a really strong position. Other side had what they felt was a strong position. There was even a custody evaluation that was done. And so we felt like we had the custody eval on our side. We're going to win this whole trial. And the judge didn't really like the custody evaluator's evaluation. They didn't like the other party's position either. So what the judge did was he drew up his own parenting plan that was not what either party wanted. It was not what the guardian ad litem wanted. And he's like, yeah, I think this works. This is what you're going to do. And wow. we were kind of like, wow. That just goes to show the court can do whatever it wants. It doesn't have to pick your side or their side. It can really come up with its own resolution. And sometimes just trusting that to someone who doesn't know you or your family is not a good way to go.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And I think that's what's so great about it. And like I said, we'll get into mediation next week. But that's what's so great about being able to settle your case on your own terms versus having a judge determine those for you.
You get to be a participant in what is going on. And like, and that's why, and I'll just mention this too, kind of as a lead into next time when we talk about mediation, you know, most counties, almost every county now, King, Pierce actually requires it now, Kitsap and Snohomish. Snohomish was late to the game on this, but they all require alternative dispute resolution before a trial. And in most cases, that's mediation. Sometimes it's arbitration, but they want you to try to settle your case before you come to them and say, where should my kids live? Or who keeps the house? Like, they want you to try and settle it. So that's why in most cases, there is that mandatory dispute resolution. Part of the problem, and we'll talk about this next time, is, you know, sometimes one party wants to do it really soon and the other party wants to do it way later in the case. And that can be frustrating. But at a certain point, unless there's a reason to not have it, like domestic violence. And even then, I'm seeing courts now, because we're virtual, say, hey, you're going to go ahead and do mediation anyway, because you don't have to be in the same building. So you're going to have that opportunity to try and settle this. It might not come as soon as you want, but you're going to have that opportunity, even in a tough, high conflict case. And the best thing you can do is just get prepared for it, because you don't want somebody else making decisions for your life or your kids' lives. You really don't.
Definitely.
Unless, you know, unless they have to. And in some cases, it's a real gift to you that somebody's going to make that decision, but at least you get a shot at trying to settle.
So one last thing, which I'm sure some people who are listening, is what about uncontested divorces, or people just agree on everything, or they say, you know, we don't really have any assets. We don't have kids. We've been married for a hot second. Like,
I love that you asked, because it's really interesting. We do a lot of full representation of people, like I was saying, people that really need to go through the process. But we've been doing, over, especially this year, last month, we did more uncontested divorces than we've ever done. Which we had really never done before, but now we're kind of like, hey, this is a service that a lot of people really need. And here's what an uncontested really looks like. It means you're uncontested. You agree on everything. There's no, oh, we agree on everything, but, and that's a lot of times what happens. Why we've shied away from really doing uncontested before is because everyone will say, oh, we're uncontested, we agree on everything, but, and then one issue will blow up the case. So in an uncontested case, even if you have assets, you can do it. But if you still might be smart to talk to somebody and to decide on if what you've agreed to is in your best interests. But uncontested just means you agree on everything. You agree on your parenting time. You agree on how you're going to divide assets. You agree on absolutely everything. Or you have nothing and you just want to be divorced. And all you need is someone to walk you through, do the paperwork for you, file your case, and present your final orders. You don't want to have to jump through all of the administrative hoops. And Lisa, in my office, Lisa's my paralegal, and she's a senior paralegal in our office. She's been doing divorce for 30 years. That's all she knows. It's like, she speaks the language better than anybody in my office. And so Lisa, now we have kind of carved out a little niche where she does a free consultation with people who really have an uncontested situation. She talks to them and makes sure it's really uncontested, doesn't give them advice, but just talks to them and makes sure it's uncontested. And then We're able to draft all of their paperwork, all of their initial paperwork, and all of their settlement paperwork. And then an attorney looks at it, and then we just file it for you and we walk you through it. We don't represent you, but Lisa can kind of act as your guide to do that. And it's really nice because we can do that for people on a flat fee. And they don't have to worry about how much it's going to cost because they know, because it's just doing paperwork. The biggest
Sure.
thing, though, is really making sure that people, this is what I would caution you. You might be somebody out there where this is the most common scenario. Spouse A makes all the money. Spouse B makes a lot less. Spouse A comes to spouse B and says, "Hey, I've got this. If you just agree to this, we don't have to spend money on attorneys."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure, this looks really good. I get half of the assets. Cool. But what you don't realize as spouse B is that you should be getting way more than half of the assets and you should be getting way more in support. So that's when you don't want to just say, "Oh, I'll do an uncontested and I'll
Right.
take half," because you don't even know that that's not what you should be getting and you're leaving a ton
Right.
on the table.
Right.
So.
Do you see this year, and I don't know if it's just me, but do you feel like there's a lot of couples who are like, no, we're just going to do everything 50-50? Are you hearing that more so this year, or you think it's just maybe a
Yeah, I'm hearing that last year and this year, a lot of people saying that. And I think anybody listening, a big takeaway is Washington is not a 50-50 state, which means in some states with community property, you just divide everything in half. Like there's no discussion about it. Doesn't matter who makes what, doesn't matter how long you're married. In Washington, that is not the legal standard. Our standard is different. It's called just and equitable, which means the details of your marriage matter. And a lot of cases are not 50-50. But yeah, I get a lot of people and they're like, "Oh, we just want to split everything 50-50." And I'm kind of like, you should be getting
no.
60%. You should be getting 55. You should be getting more. It just doesn't make sense. Or I'm telling somebody, great, if they'll agree to 50-50, that's a home run for you because you should be paying more. So, but yeah, I don't know what it is. The last year and this year, especially, a lot of people have it in their mind that that's the way to go, and it's not necessarily. But long story short, if you really agree on everything or you have nothing, just get someone to do the paperwork for you because the paperwork can be difficult. It can be confusing. A lot of times people will try and do it themselves and it keeps getting rejected by the court and you don't know why. And the paperwork's just not the most user-friendly. So we've been trying to help people with that this year.
Well, good. Well, hopefully our listeners got a really good understanding of what the different types of divorce are. And if you guys have any follow-up questions, make sure you reach out. You guys know how to get a hold of us. So,
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time. Take care.